It's time for Crop Talk, local issues that area growers and producers are talking about. Crop Talk is brought to you by Halderman Real Estate and Farm Management Services and Harmeyer Auction and Appraisal Company. And now, the Farm Doctor, John Williams.
Good morning. Welcome to today's program. Today, I'm in the combine, Mr. Don Thurston. Good morning, Don.
Hey, John.
Well, you know, this is kind of an annual event for you and I was afraid maybe we weren't going to get it done. Running corn today, a little bit of rain's kind of held up on some beans. But I'm going to get right after it with you. You've run enough corn and beans at this point. Are you happy with what you've seen now?
That is the million-dollar question, and we get it a lot. What corn we've run, I'm going to say we're probably just only about 10%, maybe 12% done with our corn crop, just really getting started. But what we've run so far has been excellent. It's been excellent. I was, the last time we talked, I was kind of afraid maybe things weren't going to be as good as they seem, but corn's definitely exceeding my expectations.
So that leads me to believe maybe beans not.
The way I set that up was a pretty good indicator, wasn't it? Well, beans have, and there's been some nice surprises. We've got a significant amount of more soybeans done. You know, as a percentage of the whole, we're probably, a little over 20%, 22% done with our crop. And there are highly variable, let's say it that way. I've had some poor, what we would call poor beans in the 40s. My best beans were in the high 60s, and they've been everywhere in between. So we've got a reasonable average, but a lot of variability in there.
I guess, what's the big surprise this year? You know, you and I have talked a number of times throughout the year. You know, the crop went in the ground good, it come out of the ground good. We had some ideal growing, I'm not going to say idea, but we had some good growing conditions throughout the spring and summer once the crop went in, and everybody was set up to have what they thought was going to be another banner year of a crop. So do you still feel that way? I mean, do you still think we're going to exceed our expectations here? For the most part.
Well, that might be pretty specific to what part of the county you're in. There were some areas that probably had a drier August than maybe the northeastern corner of the county.
You got a dump on him?
Where we're at. I'm going to dump on you.
Just about how wet has the beans and corn been running, what you've been in to this point anyway?
Oh, moisture-wise?
Yeah.
Well, the beans had gotten quite dry there right before there was the week we had that large rain event that was 4 inches or so. Had been running dry up into that period. We had some 10% soybeans pretty consistently there. The corn, our corn has been running 21 to 25.
You know, the guys have been talking about beans. When they first started in beans, they were thinking maybe the early maturing beans were going to be better, and then a lot of guys have backed off that a little bit, saying that maybe the later maturing beans are going to be better because we didn't catch those August rains. Do you think maybe that is the case?
I do think that's the case. That's what I've I think we've gotten into enough of our mid-late maturity beans that were kind of planted in the middle of our planting period. Those beans that we ran in that category were absolutely excellent, and a lot of them looked good. Our very earliest planted beans were our earliest maturing beans. You were asking about the surprises we had. There were a lot of those beans that got hammered with a lot of rainfall there in June. And the beans were very short. They didn't look good. And I was afraid what we were going to find. And that's where a lot of that variability in the bean yields came from, we were talking about. But that was on our earlier maturity beans. our later planted, later maturity beans are much more uniform in their appearance and the conditions they were grown in, and they look really good, John.
And you don't see, and I have heard that comment several times this year, that the beans themselves were kind of small. You've not experienced that?
Well, you know, that is funny. There just must be a lot. I have seen small beans. Don't see anything that looks really large, but my gosh, there must be a lot of them to make, make even in the 50s, where some of those, the plant stature, the bean size, didn't look like it would put out that kind of yield. But it did.
I got to tell you, Don, riding up here in the combine, looking down, you got a good herbicide. Your herbicide worked well, because these are about as clean a rose as you're going to get.
It held well, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Don, let's talk a little bit about where we're at on pricing. I guess the markets are trying to find some direction. Am I correct in saying that, you think? I mean, just up a little, down a little, not much going on.
Well, I think that's probably a good general statement, trying to find some direction. But if you step back, look at a soybean chart, I think our soybeans have gone into a defined downtrend. The question with any downtrend, of course, is where does it stop? And our tendency is to think a seasonal bottom tends to come in the soybeans during fall harvest. But we've got a lot of moving parts. We have had so many moving parts in the market, starting over a year ago when we had a large rally and old crop soybeans made it to $16, and then they've tapered off again. And now we're looking at new crop bean futures. As we're talking here today, 1240 area, 1250 area.
I think that's right.
That's well off the highs. Still a very respectable price, but it has been trending down. Now everybody's hoping that we'll turn that around, right? But we're going into South American weather. That's always a big deal. This is their planting season as we're harvesting. So it's a lot of dynamics going on there.
So I guess maybe you're more still optimistic on bean pricing down the road here.
I'm more optimistic on corn pricing.
Really?
Than bean pricing, yes. After the last USDA report kind of threw some curveballs as far as the supply of soybeans, that they're now projecting that we ended up the last marketing year with. That carries over into this year. And we thought was an almost impossibly tight situation. It's just tight. Is that fair? Is that a fair way to describe it?
That is a good way.
Yeah. They found some extra stocks that weren't in the mix.
Imagine that. Hey, Don, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll cap this thing off.
Hi, this is Rusty Harmeyer. People have been turning to Halderman Real Estate and Farm Management Services for their farm management and real estate needs for over 90 years. All kinds of people. Farm owners, investors, tenants, bankers, lenders, attorneys, accountants, in fact, anyone involved with a farm in any way. We have provided services from the occasional consultation to complete farm management and real estate brokerage to thousands of clients throughout the Midwest. Visit our website, halderman.com, where you can view current listings, take a virtual tour of our properties, check out dates for our upcoming auctions, or look up past sale results. If you have a farm-related issue, Halderman can help. Contact Chris or Lauren Peacock, Craig Springmeyer, or myself, Rusty Harmeyer, at halderman.com.
Back now with Wayne County farmer Don Thurston. And Don is, I guess, one of the things that keeps being brought to my attention, and I get it asked every day by somebody, inputs for next year.
A big
concern for a lot of people, and I certainly hope a lot of people maybe have already got their inputs bought.
it would have taken an incredible amount of foresight to do that, because these prices really started taking off, relatively early in the summer.
Don, do you think it was its availability, or is it production? I've heard all kinds of stories. Glyphosate, for example, might be in short supply. Where's this all going to go?
It's a real concern what the cause and effect is. My sources aren't any better than yours, but it is a concern, because we know there's product, herbicides being an example. There's usually some product available this time of year that just isn't there. Now, maybe the best case scenario would be that, well, it's because everybody's afraid and they're hoarding it up, not necessarily that it's in short supply. But that being said, we'll be lucky if that's the case, because everybody I've talked to said there will be supply concerns. The hope is there's enough alternative products that everything will get sprayed, all the fertilizer will get applied. It's just a question of whether it's your first product of choice.
Yeah, but with all the choices this day and age of beans, for example, that would make a determination on what beans you go with on availability of. That's going to affect decisions you got to make.
Very good point. That is an excellent point. That herbicide tolerant crops need specific programs, and hopefully that does not end up biting anybody. But I'm in the same process as all the other farmers that you've talked to, just trying to figure this thing out. And it's a bad time for all of us to really investigate options on things like that, because we're all busy in the field, right?
Right, exactly. So do you think P&K, as an example too, it's unbelievably high.
Yes, yeah.
What's that going to do to a guy like you? Is this a year you minimize things, or do you go forward?
That's a great question. The thing about phosphorus and potash, if a guy is watching his soil tests, you don't necessarily, if your soil tests are in the medium to high range on those two nutrients, you don't necessarily have to break the piggy bank in a big way to put it on. You can hold off a year. Nitrogen scares me more than the P and the K. Because if you're going to raise corn, you got to have it. And I think there's still some questions to be answered on how the nitrogen supply is going to come about. A totally different set of production challenges than with the potash and phosphorus, of course, but still critical, ultra critical for our corn crop.
You haven't noticed any corn standability issues at this point, anyway. I know we're still early, but I have heard that comment as well.
And that was something I was predicting all the way back, 5 weeks ago,
yeah,
last time
yeah.
we talked. And one of the things we can do to analyze that is that simple push test with a stalk. Get out in your field, push that stalk over a foot, 18 inches, see if it breaks over or comes back up. And I was very surprised on some of my crop that I thought was going to have standability issues is really staying pretty strong. Now, that could change, I think. But at this point in the fall, John, I'm very pleased with how well the corn's standing, with how strong it looks like it should be able to stand, and the yield, that's a component too. How much weight is that stalk held up? The yield's pretty good.
Well, it looks good, here today. This, of course, we haven't had really any weather issues yet, but as we go forward, that can always be one.
We might be able to take that one on back to the shop. I don't know if this will all fit on me or not.
Don, Don, as always, appreciate your comments. I know we're early in the season. And we'll certainly be checking back with you as time goes on later in the season. But I want you to stay safe. Just don't get in a big hurry, which I know you want to.
And the same to all your other listeners, too. It's a hectic time of year.
Yes, it is. And you're certainly good at multitasking. You really are. That wraps it up for this week's program. Join me again next time. Until then, everyone, stay healthy, stay safe.
Crop Talk is brought to you by Halderman Real Estate and Farm Management and by Harmeyer Auction and Appraisal Company. Thanks for listening. And join us next Sunday morning immediately after Community Caravan for Crop Talk with the Farm Doctor, John Williams. From the station proud to support our area growers and producers, Kix 96.